Good afternoon. This is Dave Parker of Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia, and WCOJ 1420 AM in Coatesville in Chester County, Pennsylvania, bringing to you, our faithful Holy Spirit Radio family of listeners, a special program that I hope you will enjoy. Joining me today are Bishop John McIntyre, Ms. Megan Coakley, Mr. Fran Novak, and Mr. Brian O'Delly, to talk about the exciting movement within the Catholic Church to evangelize and re-evangelize parishes, priests, clergy, religious, and lay leaders who are seeking to answer the Church's call for the new evangelization. If I may introduce my guests, joining me by phone are the Most Reverend John J. McIntyre, D.D., V.G., Auxiliary Bishop of Philadelphia, and the Secretariat for the Catholic Human Services and the Secretariat for Evangelization, who was born in Germantown section of Philadelphia, and Megan Coakley, Director of the Office of the New Evangelization of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And joining me here at Holy Spirit Radio in Doylestown are Mr. Fran Novak, who serves on the Christ Life Board of Directors beginning in 2012 to the present with 4 years as chairman, and Mr. Brian O'Delly. Brian is here today to talk about how he and his evangelization team implemented Christ Life program at Queen of the Universe in Levittown, Pennsylvania. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much, Dave.
All right. You're welcome. And just a reminder to our faithful and loyal listeners, you are listening to Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia, and WCOJ 1420 AM in Coatesville and Chester County. Welcome, Bishop McIntyre and Megan Coakley. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much, Dave. It's good to be with you.
All right. Thank you for coming on, Bishop. Bishop McIntyre, would you open with a prayer, please?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God our Father, your beloved Son Jesus has told us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to observe all that he has commanded us to do. Father, we ask you to grant us an ever greater fidelity to your Son's command and an ever greater zeal for what you have revealed to us through him. Grant us perseverance and grant us strength in this task. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Mary, Mother of the Church and Mother of the New Evangelization,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop. Would you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I was born and raised here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, initially in the Germantown section of the city where myself and my family were parishioners at St. Michael of the Saints Parish on Germantown Avenue. Then we moved, I think when I was 12, to the northeast section of the city where we were parishioners of Resurrection of our Lord. I was in formation for the priesthood with a religious community outside of the diocese for a number of years, and then eventually returned to Philadelphia, entered St. Charles, and I was ordained a priest in 1992, and had the privilege of serving in two parishes, initially St. Dominic's in northeast Philadelphia, and then St. Mark's in Bristol. I was the cardinal secretary for a period of time, and then I was ordained an auxiliary bishop in August of 2010.
Mm. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Quite an impressive background.
It's been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful years as a priest and now as a bishop. Very, very happy in what I'm doing.
And if I may digress a little bit briefly, I noticed on your resume that you spent some time in Erie, Pennsylvania. I am from Erie, Pennsylvania.
Ah, okay. Yes, so that was where part of the formation, one of the seminaries for the religious community, the Redemptorists, that I was with. So I started there my first year. Yeah. In a little town just outside of Erie, northeast Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, thank you for that. I don't want to digress too much, but I had to, as an Erie boy, I had to get that in. Thank you, everybody. would you please share with us, Bishop, what your role is with the Christ Life program?
Sure, sure. One of my responsibilities as an auxiliary bishop of Philadelphia is to oversee and work with the Secretary for Evangelization. So, like any archdiocese, there's always a need for a greater fidelity to the command of the Lord to go forth and make disciples of all the nations. And as an auxiliary bishop, I visit parishes every Sunday and for other occasions. And it's not difficult to see that there is a weakening in the practice of the faith. There are many good, faithful, devout, strong Catholics in the archdiocese. People are very faithful to Christ and the Church. And then there are an increasing number for whom the faith and the practice of the faith isn't a priority. I would say there's a certain level of indifference. It's not a priority. And so I began to look for different means that the Church had discerned as authentic instruments or tools of evangelization. And after looking with Megan Coakley at Christ Life, we both agreed that Christ Life was one of these instruments or tools that the Church had discerned was an authentic means of evangelization. And I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, we met with a group of parishioners who had begun this in their parish at St. Rose of Lima in North Wales, and then we went from there, inviting pastors to come in and listen to a presentation on Christ Life, and working over the past, I guess, 2 years now, trying to encourage the pastors and lay faithful from the parish who are involved in this process to keep at it, and also invite other pastors, other parishes to initiate something like this, something like Christ Life itself or something like it, that would be a continual instrument or means of evangelization in the parish.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, Bishop. I have another question, if you will, several follow-on questions. Precisely from your definition, what is the new evangelization?
Sure. Thank you. Thanks. That's a great question. I would say it's an aspect of the pontificate, the ministry of St. John Paul II as our Holy Father. Certainly it has its roots in our continual desire to be ever more faithful to the command of Christ to go forth and preach the gospel. And then I think it was a particular response to a moment in the life of the Church in which Pope John Paul II saw that there were many Christian communities, many local churches that had been evangelized years and years, sometimes hundreds of years ago, in whom the practice of the faith had grown dim or sometimes almost non-existent. And so Pope John Paul II, truly being a man who was in fidelity to the command of Christ to go forth and preach the gospel, but also was very much a priest, a bishop, who knew well the heart, the desire, the direction of the Second Vatican Council, sought to give the Church a new impetus in preaching the gospel, preaching the faith, inviting others to a conversion of hearts, a faith in Christ, and membership in the Church. So he proposed a new evangelization. On the one hand, again, it's a fidelity to what Christ has commanded us to do. That command that has existed in the heart of the Church for over 2,000 years now. And at the same time, it's, I guess, intention, I would suppose, with John Paul's call for the Church to be creative in her approach, to use new means, to have a new ardor in preaching the gospel. So I also believe that the Holy Father certainly saw this new evangelization primarily rooted in our own willingness to daily convert, so a daily deepening of our own personal conversion. For it's then that when we convert, when we have a change, daily change of heart, I should say, a daily conversion to Christ and a deepening of our being a part of the Church, it's then that the own witness of our life is an ever more profound preaching of the gospel. So I think those things lie at the heart of St. John Paul II's call to the Church to engage in a new evangelization.
I think that is so apt a description. And it kind of leads into a question. You kind of answered it. Why is it important for us Catholics? But I think, especially today, and especially in the last 20, 30 years, with, well, the frenetic pace of society and secular culture, I just think many Catholics have, well, fallen away, or they become kind of immune to, you know, what they hear on Sundays or Saturdays, as it were, mm-hmm. and when they go back to work on Monday through Friday. I think it's so important to for this evangelization and re-evangelization. Would you agree with me?
Sure, absolutely. St. John Paul II, when he called the church this new evangelization, did so as a priest and a bishop who eventually was entrusted with the ministry of Peter in the church. As a priest and bishop who was deeply immersed in the lived experience of the church, I guess I should say. And so experience of the church, especially in the West, especially in places like Europe, had experienced were experiencing a decline in the practice of the faith. And so the church responded to that. It responded to it in the Second Vatican Council. It responded through the ministry of Pope Paul VI and his apostolic letter to the church, Evangelii Nuntiandi, which I'm sure greatly influenced Karol Wojtyła when he was a young auxiliary bishop of Krakow and then the archbishop of Krakow. So in continuity with that whole development, with the way the Holy Spirit had led the church through the ministry of his predecessors, he responded to the call of the church and the direction of the manner in which the Holy Spirit was guiding the church to call the church to this new evangelization. Mm-hmm. And it should show itself. It should develop, I guess, in different ways in different parts of the church. There are unique challenges to the younger local churches or dioceses in Africa, or perhaps to the local churches in Latin America, as compared to what we experience here in the United States, much of which you described very well in your comments in terms of the frenetic pace of life and the manner in which it seems that people are almost immunized to what they hear in church on Sunday when they go to Mass, or the experience of receiving the sacred body and blood of the Lord in Holy Communion. So I think part of that is culture in which we live in many ways compared to the way things were when my own, say, parents or grandparents were being raised or when they were young. The supports that were there are largely gone unless you seek them out intentionally amongst other, you know, faithful practicing Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
So with that having been, you know, said, I think it's important that we intentionally set out to encourage and, you know, support each other in our living out of the faith and living out of the command of the Lord to preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How do you see Christ's life as a way of living out the new evangelization, given what, you know, we had just heard from you? And what fruits have you seen from the process in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia?
Thank you. Thanks. Well, the first way I see it as a means of evangelization in the life of the Archdiocese is the fact that the Church has discerned it as an authentic means of evangelization. So you have that seal of the Church, her wisdom in terms of testing the Spirit, so to speak, as St. Paul tells us to do. So there's that aspect. And then there's the aspect of Christ's life that invites people, and I would say takes them where they're at and then tries to move them to a deeper faith in Christ, to give them a perhaps a more adult formation in the faith, so that with that formation, being formed in that way, they might be better equipped, better prepared to share the gifts that they've, you know, received from Christ through the church.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that's it in a nutshell.
Well, very well there, Bishop. Now, is there anything else you would like to add to the conversation thus far on Christ's life?
Thank you. Only that it's so incumbent upon us as a church, as Catholics, to become ever more faithful to the command of Christ to go forth and preach the gospel in all the many and varied places that the Lord places us each and every day, whether it be the home, the workplace, neighborhoods, communities. And just to say to the faithful of the Archdiocese that it is possible. It's not a mission that is dried up, so to speak, or an impossibility, but it's very possible for us to share what we have received from Christ, and by doing so, call others to a change of heart, call others to faith in Christ, perhaps for the very first time.
If I may add in what I was thinking of earlier in preparing for this interview, here we are just a day after Pentecost.
Yes,
and
yes.
The zeal of the Holy Spirit, and how apropos, you know, we're trying to reinvigorate, or this effort is through Christ's life to reinvigorate the Holy Spirit in individuals' lives and to bring them back to what, you know, what the faith is all about. So I was just adding some, you know, some thought into that.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, Bishop McIntyre, for joining us today to speak about the Christ Life program. Before we have to say goodbye to you, can we get you a blessing from you?
Sure, absolutely. Thank you for asking.
Okay.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And, well, thank you again, Bishop McIntyre, and look forward to talking with you in the future.
Thank you very much, Dave, and Megan and Brian, thanks for continuing on with the interview.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, God bless. Well, next, let me turn to you, Megan, and ask, well, first, let me say hi, Megan, before I get into the formality. and Brian and Fran are here, and they're smiling.
And so am I. Smiling, too.
All right. On this beautiful sunny day, but who knows how long that'll last, right?
Right.
Well, let me ask you this. What is your role in the process of implementing Christ's life throughout the Archdiocese of Philadelphia?
Right. So really kind of the general task of my office is primarily to serve our 219 parishes and to help them respond to this mandate of Christ. So to go and to make disciples, to gather up the world for Christ. And so my task is to help our parishes do that. And so to discern and to find what ministries, what tools, what instruments will bring about this work of salvation that Christ wants to do. And so one of those instruments that we've discerned to be very efficacious is Christ Life. The way that this came about is that Fran Novak and his counterpart at St. Rose of Lima, Jane Selner, sat down with me and just told me about the fruits of Christ Life in their parish. They had been this quiet, sleepy parish in North Wales, and Christ Life has just set them on fire. And I've seen it. I personally have seen it, being at St. Rose many times. I've seen the fruits. And so Bishop McIntyre and I both thought we want to help the parishes take up this ministry if they want to. So one thing we don't do is necessarily mandate any particular program. Each parish is different. They all have to discern what is it the Lord's calling them to.
Mm-hmm.
But because we know that Christ's life is authentic and it's efficacious and it changes lives, my role really is to help make that happen for the parishes. So to bring Christ's life in, to train the teams, to help the pastors learn more about it, to coordinate a network among parishes that are trying to run it. And I basically just serve as that maybe linchpin of kind of keeping the network alive, keeping people going, keeping them encouraged, and then also shelling out the money to get the team here to train people. That's also a big thing, because you can't afford to do these, you know, parish by parish. It has
absolutely
to be a diocesan effort.
It's always an important aspect of things.
Okay. Yes, financial is a gift from the Lord, too.
And, well, let me ask you this. I'm kind of going off the script, but as you mentioned, you know, when you bring a parish team, it's comprised of the laity and the clergy. Have you had any, how do I say, skepticism at first? And if so,
no, you know what? There really, I have not encountered any. I would say what my sense in the Archdiocese is that people are ready. Like, the harvest is ripe. People have been looking for a way. They're seeing the crisis. I think because you can't ignore it, mm-hmm. people are seeing the crisis, and there are a lot of people who want to do something about it. Mm-hmm. They just a lot of times have no idea where to begin. And so a lot of times when I propose Christ Life, people are just like, oh, I mean, I remember one pastor saying, this glove fits my hand. It had mm-hmm. been exactly what he was thinking about. He just didn't know it existed. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, generally, the only maybe pushback we get is it's quite a rigorous ministry. I mean, you have to be fully committed to it. And so some parishes just, they might not be ready for it, or they just need a couple of years to kind of get things together so they can run it. Mm-hmm. But generally, no, I would say the enthusiasm is very high.
Well, that's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. So who can benefit by participating? Everyone involved,
I guess? Right. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about Christ Life, because getting a sense of the structure will actually help understand who can participate and why it would be fruitful for them, no matter where they are mm-hmm. in their faith journey. Mm-hmm. So Christ Life is what's called an evangelization process. So it's not necessarily a program where you just stick DVDs in a DVD player and then somehow something comes out of that. I mean, it's just deeper than that. It's more integrated. Mm-hmm. But it has three parts, and each part is 7 weeks long with a built-in retreat. So the first part is called Discovering Christ, and it's 7 weeks of just really introducing people to the living person of Jesus Christ. One thing I think that's really important for us all to recognize as Catholics mm-hmm. is that there is, what I would say, is a crisis of a lack of personal relationship with the Lord. I would say even kind of very devout practicing Catholics who may be praying their rosary all the time, going to Mass all the time, may not yet have actually had a deeply personal encounter with Christ and experiencing His love for them. So this first 7 weeks is critical for really inviting people to actually know the Lord personally, to hear their own name spoken by Him.
Mm-hmm.
So that, in my vision, is really the linchpin of the whole renewal of the church, is this coming back to the encounter with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So Discovering Christ is the first 7 weeks, and then it's followed by another 7 weeks called Following Christ, which is learning how to mature in Christian discipleship. And then the third 7 weeks is Sharing Christ, which is that you are being taught how to talk about Christ to other people. So mm-hmm. we all have family members, we all have coworkers, we all have friends mm-hmm. who have fallen away from the faith or never knew the Lord,
mm-hmm.
And it teaches how to do it, how to talk about our faith with others. So in light of that, I hope you can hear just by describing that structure that everybody, if they fall anywhere on the spectrum,
mm-hmm.
can benefit from Christ Life. You
yes.
know, you could have somebody come to this, and like the very first session is, what is the meaning of life?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's so accessible for your everyday Joe who hasn't been to church in 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably a long time, 20 years. A lot of 50, even 50 years out of church, it's, you might. But,
but
so,
well, I know some people that it's between 40 and 50.
Yeah,
and
okay, good. So that those folks exist. So really, someone who's never had an encounter with religion,
mm-hmm.
they can start here at Discovering Christ. Like, in other words, it's aimed at the person who's had no experience, but it's also very much accessible for people who've been Catholic a long time, but just it's never become personal for them. And so I think Catholics along, not even just Catholics, anyone along the spectrum can start with Discovering Christ. And one thing I would say as well, very devout Catholics who would be the ones tending, for example, to listen to Holy Spirit Radio, they too really, really, I think, should open themselves to discovering Christ, to this. Because even if they know the Lord personally, you can never have too much of Him. And so to rediscover that relationship is also important.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody who gets involved in Christ Life can benefit, the team, the attendees, the pastor, the priest, et cetera.
Very, very well. And another thought I had as you were describing, and that was a very great description of the program, or of the process, shall I say. I'm a convert from Lutheranism.
Mm.
I can just see, you know, I hear a lot from, in my men's Bible group, you know, a lot of the, as you said, fallen away Catholics, men and women, come back. And this thrust to me is, in a way, reminiscent of how Catholics look at Protestants
mm-hmm.
you know, writ large, if you will. And because they're, you know, it's, they get down and they have that personal relationship with Christ, especially the evangelicals. I just think this is a superb process. I have to excise the word program out of my lexicon and and start referring to it as the process, because we're all, in a way, we're always in conversion, no matter if we're the neophyte or down the road, you know, in our faith. So, well, thank you, Megan.
Sure, you're welcome.
And do you have any questions of me or anything else you would like to add, Megan? Maybe, and Fran is sitting over here, and Brian. And when you mentioned Fran at Rose of Lima.
Yeah.
You know, his eyes lit up, and he's
well, yeah, I mean, I think it would be a great time maybe for Fran to share a little bit, well, certainly about what they did at St. Rose, but particularly he's got some great testimonies of the fruit, of what people have told them about the change of life, because that's the critical thing. When your faith changes your life, you'll never leave it.
Mm-hmm.
The reason people leave is because they've never actually had an experience where their faith impacted something deeply in their own lives. That's the critical thing, and that's what Christ Life helps with. So Fran, I think, could probably give a lot of testimony about life-changing.
Well, speaking of Fran, he's next in our... and so let me segue over to Fran and let him share with our faithful listeners his role in Christ Life, as I understand it, nationally and internationally. Fran, how did you become involved? And, well, before that, before you get into the nitty-gritty... you know, what's your background, briefly? Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll just touch first on what Christ Life is, and then get into the background portion. But we've been talking about Christ Life. What is Christ Life? Well, Christ Life is a response to the new evangelization that Bishop McIntyre talked about. Christ Life is a lay apostolate out of Baltimore that developed these three courses of discovering Christ, following Christ, sharing Christ that Megan mentioned. That is a process. And this process really helps people to encounter the Lord, to then follow him as a disciple, and then to live it out and tell others to witness their faith and share their faith. So it's a very powerful process. And it was developed, Discovering Christ was first developed in 2009 and Following Christ in 2011, and then in 2013, Sharing Christ. So over nine countries right now, and 600 parishes throughout the United States, and over 60,000 people have attended the Christ Life courses.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a growing movement within the Catholic Church. And we know it works, as Megan was talking about, through the fruit. And this is the primary way. Anything that a parish might bring in as a course, as a program, it's interesting. You might say, well, I really enjoyed that. That was really good. I'm glad I went. But this is not that. This is a process that changes lives. Whether you are a devout Catholic that goes to Mass every day, or whether you are a doubter or questioner, or you go a couple times a year at Christmas or Easter, it will and can change you. And so that the testimonies of those changed lives would be marriages are healed. People have come up to me and said their marriage was really in trouble. And now... And one couple said they pray together, believe it or not. They actually pray every morning together, and their marriage was just about ready to end after they had gone through discovering Christ and following Christ. Others were ready to leave the church in some cases because they just weren't getting filled. They weren't getting anything out of it. They didn't see Jesus. That was the problem. And what discovering Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit does, it helps them to encounter the Lord. And the Lord takes over.
Yes.
Takes over their life.
Well, if I may expound upon that, or have you expound upon it, you before we went on, you were sharing with me, and you mentioned that the resultant reawakening, if you will, of a person and discovering Christ. Can you relate that to your personal life? you know, in a fairly succinct way, but you mentioned that there is, you know, you have a journey, which maybe at another time we can delve into, but give us a snapshot, the Reader's Digest version of how this changed your life.
Yes, I do have a faith journey. We all do have a faith journey, and of course, my faith journey is one that I've always been drawn to the Lord. I have been given the gift of faith. So with that gift of faith, I always wanted to share with others. So I brought into our parish and then co-ran the Landings Program, which is a Paulus program that welcomes fallen away Catholics. And we ran that for 4 years, mm-hmm. Twice a year, so we ran it 8 times. But I felt, although that reached some certain small segment of people, that people, even in the pews, were people that needed to hear the message of God, or needed to have Jesus brought in as the focal point, as the center of their life. They were more or less checking the box. So I've always been drawn or led to want to deepen my faith and help others on their faith journey. So the Lord has used me. And so used me in Landings, used me in another ministry, used me now in Christ Life. So along my faith journey, I actually went to St. Charles Seminary in 2010 and attended a three-credit course, mm-hmm. 5 months long. Mm-hmm. And I read documents out of Vatican II, Pope Paul's encyclical, John Paul II's encyclical on evangelization and others, and studied all those writings and papers, and came to the conclusion our church is deeply wants us to develop this relationship with Jesus, a personal relationship, mm-hmm. and that I wanted to help that process. So I found Christ Life and brought it to the parish, and along with Jane Selner, we introduced it, sold the pastor in 2010, and in 2011 we started. So we're now 6 years into the program, and we call it our core curriculum. In other words, it's something that has the testimonies that Megan talked about of so many changed lives. So whenever we start another course, the people that have had a change in their life, they want to come up and talk at the 4 weekend masses and say, here's where I was and here's where I am now because of what I've gone through.
Oh, that's excellent. So they're still enthused and they want to share and help get more people to come to Christ Life with their testimony.
They're exactly. Mm-hmm. Their lives have changed, and it's a great number of people, actually. And these people then reach out to surrounding parishes and to their friends, and a whole movement is actually takes place, and cultures change. And that's what happened in our parish. Our culture changed.
Well, Fran, let me ask you this. In terms of the ages of the people that you see are involved, would you say it tends to be more, you know, adults and older adults? Or how about the youth? What in your experience, what
okay,
do you see?
Okay, well, Christ Life is for basically 18 years old and older.
Okay.
It does not have a youth program at this time. So we have had in our courses actually 17 up to 92.
Okay.
And it's middle age and older people,
mm-hmm.
Some who are very not far along in their faith journey and have then been turned on by what being around mm-hmm. with other people.
Okay. Fran, thanks for sharing your vast experience with Christ Life and, you know, coming out of your personal base of, you know, wanting more and wanting to serve the Lord. And basically, was there a point where you said, "I surrender, Lord, use me to the best of my ability"? basically? I mean, did you have an epiphany moment, so to speak?
No, I didn't. I think it's more of the process of growing deeper and deeper and deeper day by day. And Christ life is a process, as we've said many times here in the last half hour or so. And it's because of, it's a meal, it's a teaching, it's small groups where you talk about what you just heard and learned, mm-hmm. and a community, and you grow together. And then you know people that sit in a couple pews behind you and the pews in front of you, and it changes, as I mentioned earlier, the culture of the church. And this encounter is that you don't know about Jesus, you know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a huge difference there.
Well, yeah, exactly. And to a point, I had a thought about adorations. What do you talk about in Christ's life that someone has come back? Where does adoration, being in the presence of our Lord in adoration, does that enter into it, into your discussion about that?
Yes, because we have much more adoration. We don't have 24-hour adoration in our parish, but in the past we had maybe 40 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have not only 40 hours, but we also have Monday mornings or Friday mornings or during Lent every day or those types of things where adoration is much more being practiced,
mm-hmm.
and people want that. And they also want, in addition to adoration, which is vital, they also want Bible courses and other courses that let them learn and experience more about what God's message is to us.
Okay. Well, Fran, thank you very much. And Megan, do you have anything to add as you're listening?
Well, just a little point at that last one, the question about adoration. I was just thinking of my own personal testimony, because I guess one of the thoughts I had was, I think really once that encounter with Jesus becomes personal, the whole of your Catholic faith becomes totally illuminated. So, I mean, and because the Eucharist is the encounter with Christ par excellence, there is no deeper, more intimate encounter with him than the Eucharist, it necessarily has to be a heightened awareness. So anyway, I was just giving an example of my own story. So this doesn't have to do with Christ life, but it does have to do with this encounter that leads to the Eucharist. So when I was 18 years old, I had a very profound experience of God at the tomb of St. Francis of Assisi in Italy. This was my first, major, basically, conversion experience. And I remember, I had always been a practicing Catholic, but I remember when I got home and I was at the first Sunday Mass after that experience, and the priest elevated the host, and I knew for the first time in my life that that was, in fact, the Son of God. Something just changed in my heart, mm-hmm. and I knew who the Eucharist is. So, I mean, I would just say that probably that same kind of economy of salvation logic, mm-hmm. it is always at work, that when that deep encounter happens, the Eucharist just becomes totally alive for people. And that's why St. Rose, for example, is seeing more people in adoration. It makes perfect sense that that would be the case.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for your comments and sharing that. And, well, at this time, I'm going to turn it over, and I'm looking directly at Brian, who's scribbling notes here, and just to get his attention. Brian, I have to say this. About 2 weeks ago, I interviewed Brian on his faith journey, and a very powerful journey in his walk in faith. And towards the end of that interview, let's say the last third, he talked about how he was asked to implement Christ life in his parish, which is Queen of the Universe in Levittown, Pennsylvania. And so I knew there was so much richness in this program, in this process of Christ life, that I wanted to have it culminate in this interview, which Dale Meyer and Jane Meyer of Holy Spirit Radio were so kind to let me do this, as well as with Bishop and you, Megan. And so, Brian, let me turn it over to you. And where are you in the Christ life process?
Well, thank you, Dave. If I can take a step back and first and foremost thank Dale and Jane and you for allowing us all the opportunity and a platform to share the beauty that is this process, and of course to Bishop McIntyre and Megan for their tireless work in the mission of the new evangelization. I wanted to just maybe spend a second, because you touched upon something earlier. You had mentioned how ironic it was that this interview was occurring right after Pentecost Sunday, and I'm completely convinced it's not a coincidence at all. I truly believe, without any doubt, that the new Pentecost is upon us. I believe the Blessed Mother and the Lord, and probably most profoundly, the Holy Spirit is working in this ministry and touching people's lives. And the best way that I can frame what I see going on as it relates to the church, to the broad Catholic Church, is, and I'm sure Megan can share or not if she thinks I'm on point, but it creates an evangelical Catholicism, something that I was never exposed to, didn't know could exist, as we talked about. And what this creates is fellowship. I've watched over the last 2 years that we've been working with our evangelization ministry team, which, again, I cannot stress enough, and I'm sure Fran would echo this sentiment, this is not a one-person show. This is the Lord himself working through feeble people with, you know, their own challenges and issues, but to bring about the most remarkable experience in the lives of people and of Catholics. And we've had people from different denominations participate. To your question earlier, in our program, we actually engaged my children of the team members from 12 years old on up, mm-hmm. and everybody got something out of the program. Now, the content is fairly mature, but the dialogue and the questions asked, as Megan was talking about, what is the meaning of life, is a question that everybody mm-hmm. may struggle with, or maybe they've never even thought of that question. So mm-hmm. very, very thought-provoking. We are now moving into the third phase of this process, which is sharing Christ. Mm-hmm. And this morning, as a matter of fact, I had a young man, will not name names, but a young man mm-hmm. who to some degree came to following Christ kicking and screaming mm-hmm. At the suggestion of family. And he was on, went through the 7 weeks of following Christ with us, had a very profound experience during our Following Christ retreat at the Miraculous Metal Shrine, and this past weekend was on his first full weekend retreat. And he sent me an email that said, I have no idea how a person could be where I was 8 months ago and to have this kind of a relationship with Christ today. Mm. And it's all because of this process and your team and the work that you folks are doing. And I think if nothing else comes out of it, that is the fruit that we hope to see as ministers, as leaders in the parish, because ultimately we've had the good fortune and the blessing of encountering the Lord in that personal way and mm-hmm. and having him change our lives profoundly.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. now we have a process by which we can take people on that journey with us mm-hmm. and allow the Lord to impact their lives and change them forever. Yeah. Once you've had that encounter, I won't say that it's impossible to go back, because mm-hmm. of course you can close the door on the Lord, but I haven't found anybody who would want to.
And I must say that certainly that seeing that young man after that eight-month process had to be reaffirming to you and his remarks to you, and that's proof positive of the power of this program.
Absolutely.
Process.
Absolutely. But I'm sure Megan and Fran and I'm sure Bishop would attest that's not unique.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've not yet to find a single person. We've had over 130 people participate. Everybody's lives have been mm-hmm. changed and touched in some form or fashion in different ways at different moments of the process. I have found, and I'm sure maybe we can ask Fran his thoughts, but the retreat days are profound moments. The Holy Spirit is waiting patiently to have an opportunity to show himself, to reveal himself. And we have found that on retreat, there's a paradigm shift that happens in the heart of a person that changes them forever.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. The retreat in discovering Christ as the first course in the process is where we learn what the Holy Spirit does and who he is, how we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we see, as we pray for people, we pray for them and with them in conversational prayer. It's a very, very moving. People come to tears sometimes. Some are not moved at all, but internally they're moved.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they later...
Exactly. Some people are more stoic, if you will.
But they later say how internally they were feeling, how they were very moved by the prayer. So prayer is a big part of the Christ life process, and the Lord is working. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. This is not a counterfeit. This is the real deal.
Yeah.
And so these changes are the Lord is doing them.
And it makes everyone want to shout it from the rooftops. And that's the whole purpose of us coming on Holy Spirit Radio. To share that with our listeners, and many of you may be familiar with the Christ life process, but many maybe not. And perhaps this will plant a seed. in your thoughts, and you can broach the topic with your pastor or someone at your rectory, and just kind of see where it is with that. So that's what we're hoping to do.
Can I jump in on that, Dave?
Yes, absolutely.
So yes, right to your point, I was just thinking the same thing. You know, as people are listening here, you know, if you have a fire burning in your heart right now, as you're hearing this, kind of an inclination to do something or to see if you could run this in your own parish, a couple of things you can do. Number one, I think it's highly recommended that you actually try to attend one of the courses yourself. So you can go to christlife.org, and they have a map up there, and you can just search our area and find, or you can contact me at the Archdiocese, and we'll help connect you with a parish so that you can attend the course. I would say probably this time of year, you're looking at probably September for a Discovering Christ course that's starting up. So, you know, don't be afraid to look for one, especially the Bucks County area. There are a number of parishes there that run it, but all over the diocese they have Discovering Christ going on. And then the second thing, too, if you feel inclined, go on to christlife.org, do some research about kind of the mechanics of it, what does it look like, discern yourself, go before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament and ask him, are you calling me to this, Lord? And he may be very well calling you, because one thing when you approach a pastor to say, hey, why don't we give this a try, the one thing the pastors are going to need are lay people who are willing to step up and do it. The pastors have to be deeply engaged, but the labor has to be done by us laity. In a sense, this is the time of the laity. It's the time for the lay apostolate. So the pastors need from us this willingness to do the active work to put on a process like this. Because it is, as all three of us have mentioned, it's a very comprehensive process.
Mm-hmm.
So you do need help. You need a team. Mm-hmm. And so you can be that person to let your pastor know, hey, I'd be willing to spearhead this if the pastor himself senses that the Holy Spirit is moving. And so to that point, on May 26th, we are having a pastor and clergy informational meeting about Christ life. It's at St. Raymond Parish in Philadelphia. And so you can, again, contact the Office for the New Evangelization if your pastor or a deacon or one of the priests is interested. They can come and learn more about it. I will be there. A couple of priests will be there, as well as Jane Selner from St. Rose. And then on June 17th and 18th, we are having a Discovering Christ training conference. So that will take place out in Westchester, and that's where you and your team and your pastor and your deacons can come and be trained in how to bring this process to your parish.
Oh, thank you, Megan, for that. And, well, I was going to – that's a perfect segue, because one of my final closeouts, well, before we go, and I would like to end with some prayer, but I want to go to Brian. Well, let me back up. Brian, you know, when you were saying the lady, this is the lady, it's, you know, crunch time, and you've got to do it. Brian was pumping, doing a, you know, sound the horn pump, you know, and looking at Fran, and he's all smiles, and exactly. And it's, I have, you know, two wonderful lay people in this station who are, I mean, out there in the trenches and putting this process, you know, for the Lord. And, well, and let me add real quickly, Brian, we have about 5 minutes, maybe four, about 5 minutes. And so if anyone's listening from Queen of the Universe, or which is down in kind of the lower part of Bucks County, Levittown area, and they want to, you know, reach out to you, how do they do that?
Sure. Well, I can be reached via cell phone at 215-859-0465. Or they can always find me on campus in a cowboy hat.
Yes, that is Brian's
signature.
Thank you. Yes, and well, thanks, Brian. And let me ask Fran.
Yeah, one of the things that we've done at St. Rose is we act as a resource parish. So just actually Megan was contacted by a local parish, and they wanted to learn about Christ's life. So three of the people from a deacon and two of the parishioners called me. This was actually on Friday, and I spent an hour and 15 minutes on the phone talking with them, walking them through what Christ's life is all about. And at the end of that call, they were all, you know, they were so excited. They thought this was great and would work really well at their parish. So we've done a lot of that. We are a resource parish. We walk alongside and help any way we can to introduce people. We'll meet with an evangelization team. We'll meet with your pastor. We'll come as helpers, as prayer team helpers, as small group facilitators, or whatever role. But a lot of it is just making known what it's all about to initially. So I can be reached with either through Megan, or I'll give you my cell number too, 215-353-8266.
Okay, thank you, Fran. And briefly, anyone have any closing remarks? We have coming down to like the 3 minute mark, and I want to be able to say a little prayer, or have us say a prayer. So, Brian, any final closing remarks?
I just wanted to echo Fran's sentiment there, and I can attest to the kindness, the generosity that he and Jane Selner have provided to my team and I throughout this from the very beginning, a tremendous resource of trying to discern and understand that this is a fairly significant undertaking, and it must come with all hands on deck. And as Fran was kind enough to extend his services, if we can be of any help as well to anybody interested in the process, would be happy to answer any questions that
right.
we can.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Fran. And Megan, any quick final thoughts?
Oh, just one thing. I would issue just an invitation to everyone listening to consider attending the conference, even if you're not sure your parish is going to run it. The conference itself is very beautiful, and it's very spiritually nourishing, and there's actually an opportunity for just your own heart being touched personally by the Lord while you're at the training conference. So although it's called a training, even if you just want to come personally and experience it for yourself, you are all very welcome to come.
Okay, thank you, Megan. And we at Holy Spirit Radio and our faithful listeners want to thank you all for taking the time out of your busy schedules to come on the air to share your respective roles in bringing the Christ Life process to the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and offering each parish the opportunity to reinvigorate its members and clergy through this important evangelization program in order to bear fruit in the Lord's vineyard. So let's close with a Hail Mary. And the glory be. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
We want you to know that you're always welcome, Brian, Fran, and Megan, and all our faithful, loyal listeners, to call us or reach out to us if we can be of any help here at Holy Spirit Radio. So thank you, and may God bless you.
God bless you guys.
Thank you, Megan.
Joy to the rock who saves us.